one with us, one with the Lord, walking together with God's blessing. I say I wish a Christian meeting like this could be only what we had earlier about our meeting the other day and the joy that we have in entering into this battle in Kenneth Yacht's case and the testimony we've been able to have up to now and hope to have. But that's only part of the picture of our Christian life, our Christian family life, our Christian assembly life, our walk here on earth. We cannot ignore such truths as are taught here in 1 Corinthians 5. Here were some Christians, a terrible thing going on among them. And what was their reaction to it? Well, I'm not like that. I can look down my nose at them, because I'm not an awful sinner like they. Well, they certainly were awful sinners. Their pride, they're puffed up. Their failure to mourn for that poor sinner and for the sin and for the possibilities of God's judgment and the way the name of the Lord was dishonored. What a horrible condition for them to have been in. They should have acted in judgment. They didn't. Notice what's mentioned here about Christ, our Passover sacrifice for us. It's very interesting to me that Paul brings in to this context of judgment, the Passover. You know, that was began back in Egypt with the children of Israel. When they were to, the last night they were in Egypt, they were to have taken a lamb, they were to have kept it from the 10th to the 14th day, a male without blemish. They were to have killed it in the evening, they were to have sprinkled its blood on the top and side posts of the door, and then they were to have eaten of its flesh, roasted with fire, with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. And they were to be ready to move out. But the Lord at midnight was to go through the land and did. And in every home where the blood was not sprinkled on the doorpost, the blood of such a lamb, the oldest child was to have its life taken. Well, the Israelites obeyed God. They killed the lamb, and their oldest child didn't get killed because the lamb died instead. That was a beautiful foreshadowing, that Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And that applying of the blood with that hyssop, a weed called hyssop, they took and dipped it in blood and put it on the top and side of the door. That applying of the blood is a beautiful type of one believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith applying his blood shed for them. He's the spotless lamb without blemish who gave his life for you and me. But that feast that followed, after the lamb was slain, after the blood was sprinkled, the feast that followed was to be with unleavened bread. That means it was to be pure. It was to have no mixture. And if a little leaven were allowed to be in that lump, that loaf, what would the result be? Well, the whole thing would be leavened. Just a little leaven would leaven the whole lump. And so, mention is made here. Verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. This isn't talking about a physical feast for the church. It's talking about a spiritual feast. And what is the spiritual feast for the members of the church, which is Christ's body? Well, we have been the beneficiaries of the salvation from Christ, our Passover. Our feast is the feast of our fellowship, as it's called in the 10th chapter. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The cup which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Well, that word communion means fellowship. It's from the same Greek word as the word fellowship. So the fellowship, the common partaking of the blood of Christ and the body of Christ given for us on Calvary is a spiritual feast. We eat and drink of Christ. But in our walk as Christians, in our being together, endeavoring to walk together as a local assembly, a local company of Christians, when we come together, what kind of a spiritual feast is it? Is it a leavened feast? With malice and wickedness? Or is it a feast where there's the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth? It's beautiful the way that's brought in. But there can be no real feasting in the sense of the spiritual fellowship that honors God when there's that mixture of leaven. And let a little bit come in and remain ignored, and it'll spread. Honestly, I'm speaking this morning with some sense of alarm, with some genuine sense of concern. I'm not close enough to all of you in your everyday lives, your words, your attitudes, to know what you're allowing in your personal lives, what you're allowing in your homes. I merely see some reflections at meetings and other times when I'm with and around you. And I'm alarmed. I feel the need of giving warning, because there are things that will creep in that will paralyze us as members of the body of Christ. We've heard of creeping paralysis in the physical realm. Maybe some part of the body, all of a sudden the hand won't function. Then the arm can't be controlled. Then the shoulder is disabled. Then the left side down to the leg and so forth, unable to walk then. Creeping paralysis. Well, the horrible creeping paralysis of that little leaven, that sin that's ignored, that's overlooked, that's allowed among Christians who come together in the name of the Lord, it will immobilize us as functioning members of the body of Christ, unless it's dealt with, or unless we take the attitude of separation from anything like that. Wouldn't it be horrible if some of you, for Christ's sake, said, I cannot go to meeting on Sunday morning any longer. On Sunday mornings where Burl Chisholm speaks and Brother Wilbur Johnson is. I have to, in order to have God's blessing, in order to remain pure, I have to separate myself from that. Wouldn't that be horrible? And yet, there's a possibility of that. If we allow a little bit to come, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, that spreads, rather than let's help one another. Let's don't be legalists. Please believe I'm not trying to encourage something like that, but I am trying to encourage faithfulness, and I am trying to encourage watchfulness. I am trying to encourage diligence. I am trying to encourage us all to not be self-centered, but as we're told in Scripture, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others also. Let's look out for one another. Let's not be forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But so much, but coming together, exhorting one another daily, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Well, we see the day approaching when wickedness, iniquity will abound and is abounding. We see the day approaching when the Lord Jesus will come to catch us up to meet him in the air. We certainly see signs of that. We need each other more and more. We need to encourage each other in the right things. When there is a determined rebellion and lawlessness, stubbornness, and contention against God and his truth, the only thing that can come is separation. I won't eat with you. I will not associate with you. I will not be identified with you, because to be identified with you is to be identified with sin. And I take the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will not, God helping me, identify his name with sin by association with you. We have to come to that place. And even in the physical realm, when there's a case of mumps or measles or scarlet fever or diphtheria, there's a quarantine. That's a kindness. Kindness to the person that's got it so he won't get more infection from others. It's a kindness to the people who are kept away from the quarantined one so they won't get infected with what the quarantined one has. That's true in the physical realm. It's true in the spiritual realm. And it's clearly taught in 1 Corinthians 5 and many other portions of God's Word. Look at that 11th verse again, and then we're going to close. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Yes, there's a time to tell people you're not welcome to meet with us. If you come physically, we won't physically throw you out, but we'll watch you carefully. And if we see somebody going over to talk to you or you go to talk to someone else, we'll come over and intervene. We'll come over and explain this person is guilty of this and this and this. They refuse to repent. They're here as troublemakers. They're here to lead people away after them. We'll deal with them that way. We'll put them away from among us by the help of God with the truth. So I hope I've stirred you this morning. Stirred you in your conscience, maybe. Stirred you in your determination to judge yourself. If we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged of Him, we're told. But if we're judged of the Lord, we're chastened of Him. We'll not be condemned with the world. Judging of self and confessing of sin. And sins should be confessed to the extent that they're known. If it's a private sin, and God only knows about it, maybe the only confession that should be made is between the individual and God. Maybe someone else should hear it. But at least that much must be done. If it's a sin known to two or three or four or five people, then if you've gotten right with God about it, you will want to let those two or three or four or five know too. If it's a sin that's known to a larger company, you will want as much as lieth within you to make it known that you've gotten right with God, you've confessed to Him, and you're grieved and ashamed, and you are grieved for sinning against your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because when you sin against the Lord, you do sin against the members of His body. You'll want to make such confessions. Are there any this morning? I don't know the hearts and minds of all of you here, but I don't know of a better time than right now to get the slate cleansed, as it were. And thank God it can be, so far as fellowship is concerned, so far as restoration of communion with God, so far as restoration to fellowship with Christian brothers and sisters, it can be settled instantly. This is the day of grace. We're not told that there won't be a second opportunity, of course, but we're not assured that there will be. Let's all stand together, whomever you should, that needs to be prayed for. For you I am praying. For you I am praying. For you I am praying. I'm praying.